Welcome to the Life Notes Podcast, where we explore God and grace in our everyday lives. This is the 28th in the series of Life Notes titled, If I Should Die Before I Wake. This episode is Cultural Fear of Death, Part 2. The Bible message comes from the New Testament book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 21. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. Last week, I referred in passing to the high cost of dying. The cost can be financial, emotional, physical, and/or spiritual. Those costs go up when death is needlessly delayed in ways that are based more on the fear of dying, fear on the part of the patient and/or the patient's loved ones, than on what can reasonably be expected to prolong a decent quality of life. I want to begin this week by sharing some of the financial costs of dying in America. The costs vary by state, and I did not find a lot of specific information about the costs, except that these cost averages include both funeral expenses and end-of-life health care costs. The most expensive state in which to die is Hawaii, which in 2019 was estimated to cost an average of $41,467. The least expensive state was Mississippi, which in 2019 was a mere $18,500. A measure of the high financial cost of prolonging imminent death came from a study several years ago estimating that an average of 80% of one's lifetime health care costs were accrued in the last 2 months of life. Although I'm not certain of the accuracy of that figure today, I know that the average cost of being on life support is over $10,000 a day. 12 years ago, in 2008, Medicare reported paying $50 billion in physician and hospital bills for patients during the last 2 months of their lives. No doubt that number has increased exponentially since that time. My point is not so much the actual numbers, but that dying is expensive, both to individuals and to society, and unnecessarily prolonging death drives the costs even higher. As I noted last week, I'm not arguing that reasonable steps to prolong life should not be taken. If, as I suspect, many of the financial resources spent at or near death are justified by an unreasonable fear of death, then I think we as a society must carefully examine the sources of that fear. At some point, we must ask if there are better ways to spend the money. Obviously, the emotional costs of dying are impossible to quantify, nor is such quantification necessary. Death is an emotional experience for all involved, so it is safe to assume the burden is high. The question, from a utilitarian standpoint, is whether the emotional costs go higher when the dying process is needlessly prolonged. My sense is that they probably do, although I think that is somewhat time-dependent. For example, if someone receives a terminal injury from a car accident or another immediate and unexpected cause and has been kept alive on life support while medical professionals assess the extent of the injuries as well as the prognosis for recovery, I believe some amount of prolonging life is helpful for the family to emotionally process what has happened and to be counseled that the chances for their loved one to recover are essentially nil, and to say goodbye. At the other end of the spectrum is someone who slips into a coma from which they are unlikely to recover after being terminally ill for an extended period. In this latter case, the loved ones have hopefully had the opportunity to understand the course of the illness and prepare themselves for the inevitable end. If they have not had that opportunity, the fault would point to an obvious flaw in our care system. On the other hand, those who have had an extended amount of time to process the impending death and who still refuse to accept the medical reality of the situation may be of a nature such that they will never accept death as inevitable, regardless of any counseling or comfort measures offered. In the case of my grandfather, my sense was that he needlessly prolonged an emotional, extended, and painful dying process because of his own refusal to accept the end of his earthly existence. I hope I am not being unfair, but that is how it appeared to me after many months of being shuffled between the hospital and a nursing home. I write this not as a criticism to him, but as a reminder to myself that perhaps there comes a time to not hold on so tightly. It might ease the dying process. Clearly, the costs of dying are only one part of the equation of dying well. But when money is tight and the basic needs of the living are overwhelming, I believe the wisdom of extending life at any cost needs to be examined. I will consider the physical and spiritual costs of dying next week. You have been listening to the Life Notes podcast. I invite you to my website, contemplatinggrace.com, where you will find books, music, and archives of my Life Notes and podcasts. Until next time, this is Greg Hildenbrand wishing you peace and every good.